Then the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house, in the most holy place, underneath the wings of the cherubim. Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the word of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Let us pray. O Lord, you are the Holy One of God. You draw us to you as we come to worship. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our minds and hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Redeemer and our Rock. Amen. Do you also wish to go away? This question sounds like a question of commitment, of dedication and loyalty or devotion. Of course, it's a shocking message to hear that Jesus is trying to tell his disciples, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." It sounds really cannibalistic, the way he talks about it. The idea of eating flesh and drink blood, let alone human blood, was repugnant by the religious leaders because the law forbade it. And so the Jews argued sharply about this, and the disciples decided not to follow him. Disagreeing with what Jesus was trying to do in the world is not new. It did happen then. But I want us to think about the commitments, the loyalty and devotion. God's commitment to the people of Israel, the people of God. We hear that on the story when they were freed from Egypt. And as they come, the story talks about this, the pillar of fire and the pillar of clouds. And the glory of God was settled upon them, and when the glory of God is moving, that's when the people moves. And when the glory stops, that's when the people stop. And this is how they know when to move and when to stop. But we know the story before they cross the Red Sea. Pharaoh and his soldiers were following behind. They changed their mind when they said, "Free, go." But this time they want to come back to claim the people back to be their slaves again. And the people realized that the Red Sea was in front of them and Pharaoh was behind them. They cry out to Moses, and Moses would cry out to God and ask. The very words from the people, "Aren't there any, nothing, no cemetery or place in Egypt for us to die and be buried over there? For us to be buried near the Red Sea?" The story in Exodus talks about the glory of God, the angel of God, came behind the Israelites. And Pharaoh was behind this cloud. the pillar of clouds and the pillar of fire. That's the only physical thing that will separate the people from each other, these people from each other. The commitment of God for the people of God to free them, he continuously protect them on the way. He told Moses, reach out your hand to the Red Sea, and the sea parted during the night. Throughout the night, then God said, let the people go through the dry river, the Red Sea. They cross. And when they arrive on the other side, reach out your hand. And the water came back where the pharaohs and his soldiers were in the middle of the sea. They were arguing. They were protesting. There was no water. There was no food. But God keep his commitment. God continued to walk with them. So Moses go to the mountain, meet God, and God created this tablets and write down how to be with God. Their commitment to God and the commitment of God to them, it's a covenant. And that's what they put it in this ark of God. And Solomon fulfilled his father, King David's dream and plan to build this temple for the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And here we hear Solomon was saying to the priest, to the tribes, to the leaders, come, let us bring the ark of the covenant to the Holy of Holies in the temple. Before Solomon was his father David, the plan was David committed to bring the ark of the Lord to the temple and build a temple, but God said, no, you shed too many bloods, and so you're not going to build the temple. Your son will build it. So David committed to raise funds, to prepare everything, the materials for this temple. But before David was Saul. Saul doesn't want anything to do with the ark. The Philistines take the ark. It was trouble for them. So they send back the ark to the people of Israel. But the king, Saul, didn't really care about the ark of the Lord. And we know the difference between Saul and David and how they relate to God. Even Saul, he was going and asking everybody else other than the people he needs to ask, the prophets. He asked everybody else, those who are against God. He asked him, how can I do this? How can I go to war? There was no commitment to God from Saul, even though Saul he was anointed by Samuel and agreed by God. But we see here the commitment that needs to be happening not only from God to the people, but from the people to God. And when that commitment happened, there will be a commitment from one another. We know the story about the relationship of David and Saul. Even David was the one that played the harp and keep the heart of Saul in peace. He was enraged. He wanted to kill David. No wonder why he's got this kind of spirit, because he didn't really have any relationship or commitment to God, let alone the very symbol of God's presence, is the ark of the Lord. When David became the king, he built his palace, and this was his commitment, to build the temple for the ark of the Lord. When he was not given the okay sign to build the temple, he just built a tent for the ark of the Lord. His commitment were continued, and today we hear Solomon fulfill that commitment, showing their loyalty and their devotion to God. And we hear his prayer. He asked God, "Hear everyone who come and prayed in this temple. Their hearts open to you and listen to you and pray to you. May you bless them. Your eyes may be open day and night upon this temple, not only for your people, but also for the foreigners who call upon your name from this temple." We think that God didn't really think about everybody else, only for the Israelites. But the commitment of God through the people of Israel to the whole world. What is our commitment? How do we see ourselves in our relationship with God and with one another? We hear the story of Saul, anointed by God, chosen by the people, but he has a terrible relationship with David. David also anointed by God. We know him. He killed Uriah, grabbed Bathsheba to be his wife. The difference is that David came in repentance to God, to build that relationship with God, recommitted himself to God, bringing the Ark of the Covenant to the house of the Lord, showing the commitment of King David to God, fulfilled by his son Solomon. Today we hear the disciples of Jesus answering to Jesus when he asked, "Do you also wish to go away?" "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Today, we see the factions and trouble within the families. We hear the struggle of young mothers with their children. The father, they don't really know. In other words, there is no commitment to honor the relationship, whatever the relationship is. They are happy to commit and to have children, but one will just decide to drop everything, drop the responsibility, no commitment at all, and walk away. Is this the world that we know? And if it's the world that we know, how would we be able to bring the commitment back? Do we know and believe the Holy One of God? Do we know that we are equipped by the Spirit of God to reach out to the world and show them God's love? Nowhere we run away from God, because God is with us. the psalm today, if you can see at the front of it, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs indeed and faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing joy to the living God. It shows the commitment of psalmists to be in the house of the Lord. That's the beginning of the journey and open up for commitment to whoever that we need to be committed to in our relationship. Jacob ran away because he didn't have a good relationship with his brother. In Bethel, he was tired of running away and tried to ignore his brother, and he lay down to sleep. He had a dream and see that there was a ladder from where he was up to heaven, and the angels going up and down. Jacob dropped his commitment with God, but God continued his commitment with him. And when Jacob realized that, he said, this place is no other than a doorway to heaven. Moses ran away for 40 years. He went to Midian and stayed there and lived there, and he think, yeah, I'm fine. And after 40 years, he came along and he saw these bushes were on fire, but they were not burned. And he tried to find out. What I'm trying to say, that God's commitment is committed to us wherever we may be, whatever we feel about ourselves. The world didn't really like Jesus Christ, but he came to the world and he made that commitment of God to us to die on the cross. The word that he uttered from the cross, forgive them. Forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. We hear that commitment of God to us today again. Jesus said, do you also wish to go away? Simon Peter turned around, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the word of eternal life. In other words, you are the one to make the commitment of God to us. We believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God. How is our commitment to one another? How is our commitment to God? We know Simon Peter was saying all these good things in front of Jesus, but when the rubber hits the road, he said, no, I don't really know Jesus. 3 times. And he remembered what Jesus told him. And he was crying and said, no, Lord, forgive me. But when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and Peter, there they were, their commitment fulfilled. And they were strengthened to stand up and preach the good news wherever they may be sent. Let God's vision, let God's love, let God's peace be what we are called to do. The ark of the Lord is with us today. It's the Spirit of God. Let's say together with Peter, we have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Let your Spirit commit us and we commit to you so that we may be able to bring the good news wherever you may send us. Amen. Amen.